sorry. Let me start by thanking your country for the support which you give to us in the last 6 years of our independence. Malta was among the first countries to recognize Kosovo as an independent state, and that decision has created a long-standing friendship between the young nation of Kosovo and Republic of Malta. We are also very grateful to you for the support which you give to us in building a modern country since June 1999. I remember that in June, before June 1999, in 1998, and also during 1999, there were different governmental, non-governmental organizations who supported our people when they were expelled from Kosovo during the war. I mean, they were supporting refugees. They had different projects in different areas of life. You supported also us during the time of United Nations mission in Kosovo. We had a kind of interim mission who was in charge to prepare the conditions for a post-status Kosovo. And a lot of people from Malta, different experts and mostly lawyers. They're very supportive, very famous, but at the same time they were very emotionally related to what Kosovo was in that time. What I'm trying to say, Mr. Chairman, is that in our view, what Kosovo is today, it's not only a product of the will of the Kosovo people to be a free and a democratic and independent country, but we are also a product of our friends and of our allies, countries who supported us. I mean, this is how state building in the Balkans has happened always. It was a kind of mix between aspirations of the nations to be free and independent and the wish and the necessity of the international community to have stability and to have security. And in that sense, I mean, we are very grateful for the support which you gave to us. If you allow me, I would be very much interested to brief you on three key developments. And then, of course, I'm at your disposal to have really a very frank exchange. Since Declaration of Independence in 2008, we had two main focuses. The first focus was how to build a modern, democratic, and viable state in Kosovo. And we are very proud that today Kosovo is the youngest country, but it has the most stable political landscape in terms of institutions and in terms of policy in the region. For young and small countries, this is very important. Political stability means predictability. It means clarity. And in that sense, we are very proud that we were able to keep the needed political stability. And you, as a member states of the European Union and institutions in Brussels, were not facing in the last 6 years developments where somebody would got a headache, what is going on in Kosovo with stability. I mean, we are very proud of what we did. We also kept the macroeconomic and fiscal stability. Exactly in the year when we declared independence, it occurred a big financial and debt crisis, a European financial and debt crisis. But we kept the macroeconomic and fiscal stability, and we had even growth. In the last 4 years, we had 5% of GDP growth, which means a lot. To us. We also did everything in order to integrate all communities living in Kosovo. The majority of the people who are living in Kosovo are Albanian in terms of history and ethnicity, but there are also a strong Serb community, Turkish community, Bosnia community, Roma, and we are very proud that we were able to integrate them at local level. At central level, we have a kind of power sharing model, power sharing arrangements, where all communities are integrated in our public life, and where our constitutions is accommodated their privileges and their interests. The second important development is Kosovo's international position. We are very happy that until now there are 104 countries who have recognized Kosovo as an independent state. And the geography of recognition is a global one. There are countries from Europe, there are countries from Africa, there are countries from Asia, Western Hemisphere. We also got membership in different financial and political organizations like IMF, World Bank. Last year we got membership at European Bank for Development and Reconstruction. This year we got also the membership at Development Bank of the Council of Europe. What I'm trying to say is that we are part of the international community, and we are very thankful to you, because Malta was supporting us to get membership in World Bank and IMF, which meant and means a lot to us. Another important development is that we started in October this year negotiation in order to sign a stabilization association agreement with the European Union. We started this after a lot of reforms undertaken in Kosovo by the Kosovo government in terms of reforming the public administrations, improving the economic situation, fighting corruption and organized crime, promoting rule of law, integration of communities at different levels. And based on these reforms, then European institutions in Brussels and European member states, and we are very grateful to you, gave us the green light that we are able to start negotiation with the European Commission. We are hoping that those negotiations will conclude somewhere in March, April, May 2014, next spring. And this is, to us, the first important step in terms of the membership. To be very frank, this is to us a return to Europe, because in terms of history, in terms of geography, and in terms of culture, Kosovo is a European country. Our neighbors are part of the European Union. And across history, we promoted a European identity and European values. And European agenda is, in terms of politics, a return to Europe. In terms of economy and society, is the best frame how really to create a situation where we are able to modernize our country, where we are able to compete with the rest of the nations in the region and within the European Union. My very final remark is related to the new relationship between Serbia and Kosovo. October last year, we started a dialogue which is facilitated by the European Union and by Lady Ashton in terms of developing a frame, in terms of developing a kind of modus vivendi, how Kosovo and Serbia could cooperate and how Kosovo and Serbia could avoid any kind of confrontation. And I'm very proud to inform you today that we reached in April this year a historic agreement between Kosovo and Serbia, which is trying to normalize the relations at political level by addressing all possible different outstanding open issues between the two countries. But this is also a very good base to start a process of reconciliations between Kosovo and Serbia as two societies. We are very much interested to close the dark chapter of the history, and we are very much interested really to go beyond just good communication at political level, but to reconcile our two nations. We also reached in the last months other important agreements. We reached an agreement on interstate borders, and we built last year, with the support of the European Commission, 6 border crossings between Kosovo and Serbia. And I'm mentioning this, Mr. Chairman, to you because it's very important, even in terms of understanding in a proper way the roots of the Kosovo conflict, the roots of the Kosovo war. For Serbia, we were always just a territorial issue. Belgrade never cared about the people. What they cared about was territory and natural resources. And building 6 border crossings between Kosovo and Serbia based on our interstate agreements, it's a kind of paradigm shifting. It's a kind of huge change. We also reached an agreement of freedom of movement of people. That means our citizens are able to travel with ID cards from Kosovo to Serbia, which means a lot from Serbia to Kosovo. Agreement on freedom of trade, where Serbia has accepted our customs stamps. We are able to export our goods to Serbia through Serbia to the European market. To sum up, it happened a kind of breakthrough in the relation between Kosovo and Serbia. And I'm talking to both of you as very skilled politicians and diplomats. I'm not trying to overinterpret the events, but we started a very important first phase of normalizing the relations between Kosovo and Serbia. And we think that the last phase of that normalization process showed mutual recognition between Kosovo and Serbia, and then both countries should join the European Union. Whatever we achieved, we achieved with the support of many friends and partners. And Malta is a little bit far away from Kosovo, but we are very grateful for the support which you give to us. And I'm here just to thank you for the support which you give to us and to tell you that you can count on us, that Kosovo is going to be a very responsible member of the international community, that we will behave, and that we will do everything in order really to promote stability and a European integration project process in the region. Again, I'm very grateful to both of you for receiving me. And of course, as a former member of Kosovo Parliament, I was twice member of the Parliament. In our constitution, we have an opposite rule in compared to your case. When somebody is getting the position of minister, he has to resign from his seat, which I think is not fair. But I'm very grateful to both of you for receiving me today.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, it's an honor for us that you've chosen to come and visit us, because we really think that the way forward is to meet and to speak rather than to just exchange notes, or even nowadays to speak over telephones or over the social media. We're proud, Malta's proud to have been one of the first international countries, one of the members of the international community to recognize Kosovo as an independent state. And not only that, but we have also, I believe, a non-resident ambassador to your country. And we look forward to having a Kosovar ambassador to Malta. I don't know what your views are about appointing an ambassador to our country, because I think it's an important next step in the relationship between our two countries. This year, the coming year, Malta will be celebrating its 10th year as a member of the European Union. So we're still young members as well, ourselves, as member states within the European Union, but we've had a very positive 10 years, and we believe that Malta's place is in the European Union, and we believe that the European Union needs to be stronger. So, and one way of being stronger is, of course, to extend its membership. So we are very happy that the SAA has been started with Kosovo, and I'm sure that in the spring, when it goes to the Council and eventually to the European Parliament, that given the effort that your country is making, especially with relationships with the very, I have to say, courageous initiatives that you are taking with relationships with Serbia, I'm sure that you will have a positive outcome from this. So then the next step will be towards an accession agreement, which we look forward to. As I say, bilateral agreements don't happen, and bilateral relations between countries don't only happen between politicians and between diplomats. So we'd also like to see more Kosovars visiting our country as tourists, maybe as students. We have a good, we have very good English language schools, and maybe as diplomats as well. We have a good diplomatic college, Mediterranean College for Diplomacy in Malta. We also, I believe, have two police officers who are Maltese officers who are in Kosovo at the moment, seconded there, and I believe that they've had a very, they're having a very positive experience. So again, it's only a token number, to, but for a small country like us, it's significant because we all happen to know each other usually. So the experiences that different people share are easily are then reflected on the rest of our society. So again, as I say, it's we're very happy that 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 this first visit, even after such a short time, that you've started really on the international stage as an independent country, and we look forward to greater increased relationships. Hopefully, we'll be able to visit even possibly as a parliamentary committee. Your country in the next months or years, because I think even on a parliamentary level we need to increase bilateral relations, and I'm sure that the next few years we'll see our relationships increasing to a stronger level, because it's in the interest of both of us. We are both small countries at the end of the day. Unfortunately, sometimes small countries have a problem dealing with bigger countries because the agenda is not always the same. So I think small countries have to pull together. And your population is three times ours, so you're, well, I hesitate in calling you a small country, but
in the international and the international state, we both are small countries. So I think it's doubly important that we cooperate even on an international basis.
I think Dr. Zambidinek would also like to have some comments on the stage.
Well, while associating also myself, of course, with the words said by our chairman of the committee, it is certainly also a privilege for me to be able to exchange some thoughts with you and to do that on behalf of the opposition. And I think you will, of course, immediately notice that our position in, with regard to relations with Kosovo is very much a bipartisan stand, a unified stand. Because across governments, we very much believe that even when we talk of the European Union and when we talk of the full European integration project, that cannot be complete without real attention on the Balkans issue. And of course, you are crucial in that respect. And therefore, what you have even announced to us today is certainly very, very positive. I mean, you refer also to the signing of the association agreement, which is ambitious for next year. And that will eventually lead, of course, to discussion that will lead to accession. And this is what we augur. Certainly very, very positive was also the news that you have shared with us with regard to a degree of normalization of relations with Serbia. As a lawyer, I am, and as outgoing former foreign minister, I am tempted to paraphrase what you said into a legal principle, which is sometimes you can get recognition on a de facto basis and then I think eventually evolve into a de jure basis, you know, because what is happening when you talk about recognition of customs, when you talk about normalization, even with regard to borders, when you talk about exchange, even in other areas, is very much already a form of recognition. But of course, one has to see this within the historic context, and one can certainly augur that the normalization becomes even more complete, because that will be very important not only for the Balkans. I think it is a very important principle for all of the European Union, and we very much stand by you in that regard. It was certainly, yes, a privilege for us as a country to extend practically immediate recognition to you as a newly formed independent state.
And we have not forgotten that the path to that position was not an easy one, because Kosovo obviously has gone through its own very, very difficult phase of history, of contemporary history, practically in that regard. But, of course, now what is so much important is not so much what happened earlier, but what will be happening for the future. And the future prospects are certainly very interesting in that regard. We welcome the fact that apart from your good self, we've also had the visit from the Minister of Culture, Youth and Sports. So to have two visits by two ministers, even within a short space of time, again augurs very well. I will myself make a reference to the question of small countries in dialogue with each other. Perhaps I, in this regard, I would say there is small and there is smaller. we belong to the second category in that regard. But certainly the two can understand each other. We'll welcome the participation that we will see from your country within our Mediterranean Academy of Diplomatic Studies, our MEDAC. I had opportunity to visit MEDAC and to meet students there. And what always struck me most about MEDAC is not only the level of excellence of the knowledge imparted, the diplomatic experience, the academic and also the practical side of the experience gained by students who are there, but the network which they form among them immediately. And the network which they carry along with them once they leave MEDAC. And so this will itself, I think, very much strengthen what we can do together. And I would extend also the same principle to another specialized institute in Malta, which is IMLI, our International Maritime Law Institute, where I understand that there is the prospect of Kosovar students in the coming years who can join. IMLI again trains legal advisors in the maritime field. Maritime field is part of very much of Malta's, what we would call our own international mission in the world. We had been protagonists with even the whole concept of evolution of the law of the sea. And again, IMLI creates a network in that regard. When I talk of networks, I'll close on another subject which is certainly close to my heart, and I know from your own CV that it's always being very much close to your own heart, even on a personal basis. And I'm referring to the cultural element. The exchanges that can take place through cultural cooperation, through cultural programs. And again, this is something that has already been achieved between our respective countries. The cultural agreement that was signed in November 2012, and the cultural agreement that itself sets out a framework for further cooperation in that regard. So that, in its own right, I think, will very much enhance and deepen our bilateral relations. Best wishes again. In the coming weeks, coming months, I think they are going to be very significant, not just for yourselves, for the Balkan area, and for Europe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Many thanks for the support, which means a lot to me and which means a lot to my government. And of course, I'm going to share this exchange also with members of our parliament, with both committees which we have there, with the Committee on Foreign Affairs and with the Committee on European Integration. If you allow me, I would go point by point in order to provide you with our reading of the situation. I would be more than interested to have Ambassador in Malta. I mean, foreign ministers are always more than interested to have a big network, and I'm going to talk to my Prime Minister on that. And to be very frank, we were thinking and rethinking what we should do in order really to have a stronger relation with you. We are a small country, a young country, and my job is also to think long term. And I'm trying to find out what a foreign policy of Kosovo should have as a short-term and long-term goals, and what kind of resources we have, and what we should do. And we are trying to do the best for the time being. But, I mean, let me say to you that I'm going to talk with the Prime Minister about that. We are in a phase of building a country from scratch. Whatever we are doing, we are simply inventing institutions from scratch, from politics, economy, to education and health. But I would love to see, and I'm going to insist on that. You have in front of you a foreign minister of Kosovo like somebody would have in 1970 a foreign minister of Malta. I mean, this is, Kosovo is 6 years old, and we are like you somewhere in 1970, exactly, with all difficulties. We are very proud of what we achieved, but we are at the same time, and I'm very frank with you, very aware that we are fragile because we are young. When a political entity is young, it's fragile like a child. And we are very careful what we are doing, what we are saying, how we are behaving, what kind of agenda we are promoting. We are very, very careful. I fully agree with you, Mr. Chairman, that we should go beyond relations from government to governments. And in terms of tourism, I think I'm going to be the first public tourist to Malta next year with my wife and kids. And I will give you a ring and have a coffee with you. I mean, I'm going to come in order really to promote that. Each year we have a lot of tourists who are going to Croatia, to Montenegro, but also to Turkey, around 30,000, 40,000. And I think we should do really something how to bring some tourists here. And I'm going to talk to your ambassador to Vienna, who is covering us, in order to see what we might do in a more concrete terms. In terms of English schools, I think there are some kids and students who were coming in last years. I was teaching at the Department of Political Science before I jumped to politics, and I remember that some of them were coming here. In terms of your diplomatic academy, our ambassador to Zagreb has finished her master thesis here, and we have other 2-3 cases. But I'm not trying to please you by mentioning some few cases. What I'm trying to say is that it's a kind of young tradition, and we should simply extend this. We should simply bring more and more people who could get training and who could get support in different fields. We are going to sign an agreement tonight with your Minister of Foreign Affairs, which is exactly regulating the support which Malta could give to Kosovo in terms of training diplomats, in terms of supporting the Foreign Service, in terms of public administration, and also in terms of European agenda. And we will have also regular consultations between both foreign ministries, because we think that it's crucial to have this happen. To us, it would be a great honor if you would be able to come and visit Kosovo. I'm not a member of the parliament, and I cannot talk on their behalf, but you will receive soon an invitation, and I think it would be very important. It would be very important. We would be able also to invite you in some international conferences which we are organizing in Pristina, where we are not talking about Kosovo. We are talking also about bigger issues, and we are just trying to be a platform for discussions in the Balkans on other major challenges. In terms of cultural cooperation, you said that the Minister of Culture was here. I think we will implement that agreement, and we will see what we would be able to do more. I'm very much interested after this visit today to come with a non-paper which we will share with your Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We would send also to you and then to your embassies in order to see what Malta and Kosovo could could do together. Let me conclude by saying that what we did in terms of the relation between Serbia and Kosovo, we did this not only because of Kosovo and because of Serbia, but also because of the region. We think that in the Balkans, there are still three big historic challenges. First is Bosnia, and to be very frank, we are very worried about the situation in Bosnia. I'm the foreign minister who is trying to understand the region, because the region is very important to us. And the relation between entities there, between two parts of the Bosnian state, are pretty bad. And Bosnia is in a kind of vacuum, and it's in a kind of status quo. The second challenge is the relation between Skopje and Athens on the name issue. And this is an item which is on the table for decades, for two decades. And the third challenge, the third important historic challenge, is the relation between Kosovo and Serbia. And when we decided to go for a dialogue, to make compromises, to reach agreements, we were thinking also how Kosovo could serve as a model that people in Bosnia and our colleagues and friends in Skopje and Athens should sit together and find solutions and move away. A very final thought, something which is very problematic and bad development for the Balkans is status quo, limbo. Limbo is the most negative phenomena in the Balkans. And with reaching agreements with Serbia, we wanted really to show to the rest of other neighbors that if Kosovo and Serbia can agree, why Athens and Skopje couldn't agree, why Sarajevo and Banja Luka couldn't solve their own problems due to the fact that Kosovo had really the longest difficult history in the region. I would stop here. I'm very grateful to you for receiving me. I would be very honored if you would come to Pristina for a visit, because I think we need your support. In my view, Malta is a very good model for Kosovo in terms of building also a public administration and in terms of also using your model of economy in order to achieve growth. We are still in the phase of thinking, rethinking what kind of model we should use in order to achieve growth and to reform our country.
Foreign Minister, thank you very, very much for this. I believe it's been a very fruitful visit, because it's not just a question of getting to know each other, but I think we've tackled some important issues which give us scope for further improvement in the relations between the two countries. We're certainly very, very honored to be able to visit your country, if you do indeed extend an invitation. And I'm sure the other members of the committee, tomorrow is a public holiday, it's a national day, and there are some activities going on, the rest of our committee are in different activities, unfortunately, today. But I'm sure we'll be very grateful to visit your country, and it's something that we need to learn. There's something that we need to learn, because, as you say, being a small country, there isn't a tradition that people can just think about and know about from when they were young children. So it's something that we need to learn, and I think the best way to learn is by direct contact. And your visit today is a very important step. I know you're going to meet Minister George Vella in a few minutes' time, so we won't keep you much longer. We're very grateful for your visit, very honored that you've found the time to come and visit us. And as I said in the beginning, we'll be more than pleased to offer any help we can to increase the scope of our bilateral relationships. Thank you very much once more.